Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 50 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast. I am, as per usual, your host, Chris Lipscomb. I've been joined this week by editor-in-chief of SixAxis.com and managing director of Oscar Mike Media, Peter Chapman. Say hello, Peter.
Wagwan, blood.
All right. I'm also joined this week by editor-in-chief over at ScreenDemon.com, Lewis Gaston. Say hello, Lewis.
Hello.
And finally, we're joined this week by man who's been pitching us game ideas, Kev Adsit. Say hello, Kev.
What up, brethren?
Exactly. There we are.
I was really willing Lewis to do a Jamaican accent as well, but he didn't get the vibes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, he didn't get the vibes. Is that racist? Maybe. Sorry.
Beer card.
Sorry to our large Jamaican listenership.
Well, I should apologise regardless of whether the listeners are Jamaican, I think. I don't think it only counts as racist if you're caught.
No, that's exactly how it works.
Suddenly your PC wants a recording. Off air.
I don't know to what you're referring.
Disgusted.
Right. First on the list, Peter, do you want to tell us about... Peter, do you want to tell us about Next Axis?
Yeah. I can do.
Well, don't seem too enthusiastic about it. You'll get people involved.
You're so enthusiastic about this project.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of exhausted.
He's modest. We should talk about Next Axis.
We announced it today. I announced it today. It's an iPad magazine, a digital magazine. It's going to go on more than just the iPad eventually, but we'll be launching initially on the iPad. Hopefully in March, we're hoping to get the first issue out. But at the moment, it's really just an announcement that this is what we're doing and we're looking for contributors and hopefully going to build a bit of hype and get people to spread the word a bit.
I posted it to my Facebook today.
And what percentage are you looking at making Batman-related content?
At least 93.
Well, that's acceptable because I'm again playing my Batman torch this week.
Okay.
I said... Finally, an iPad magazine which will make use of the fact it's electronic, and then link to nextaxis.com.
Hurrah!
Will it make
that's exactly what we want.
Will it make use of the idea? It's electronic.
Yeah, the idea is that it's not just like a lot of future magazines. I know future are moving into more interactive stuff, but when the iPad, when Newsstand went live, when Apple launched that, future kind of just scanned in their magazines as PDFs and threw them at it.
It was horrible.
And they, I mean, they're still charging like £5 for those things, and there's no cover disc, and they're basically just PDFs that you can zoom in on. There's no real interactive media in them. It's just, it's not an iPad magazine. It's just a magazine that happens to be on an iPad. And that's not what I want to do. I want to do...
Not very future either, is it?
I want to do lots of design, lots of interactive content, lots of multimedia. And just really make use of the things that the iPad can do and the things that Android tablets can do when we get there.
I mean, obviously, as well, the things that the iPad can do in relation to Batman.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of scope there.
Yeah.
He has a lot of scopes. Sort of middle view, long distance view.
He does.
Infrared.
Exactly.
Yeah, Batman zooms in on life.
Yeah. That's his slogan, isn't it?
Life is my
PDF. It would be if I was writing it.
Right, what is it?
So, yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to say about your lovely magazine there?
Not really, just that I hope that everybody checks it out. It's nextaxis.com is the website address, and there's a little bit more information on there. And hopefully when the time comes, people will talk about it, because it's going to be a bit of a struggle getting the word spread, I think.
And is it an Oscar Mike Media production?
It is an Oscar Mike Media production.
Well, how lovely. We're in a little family.
Yeah.
can we use the word joint instead of production?
Yeah, I do.
Awesome.
It's on the bottom of the website.
It's an Oscar Mike Media joint. Yeah.
I don't get it.
That's what we need to do. Oh, joint, it's just another
word. Place.
It's another word for production. Because there was the... what is it?
All Spike Lee's films have them.
Yes, a Spike Lee joint.
A Spike Lee joint.
I thought it was some sort of drug reference, if I'm honest.
No. And
probably
the
is.
The dude who's doing Lollipop Chainsaw.
What?
Peter knows
those
what
are two words.
About.
Yes, Lollipop Chainsaw. I can't remember that guy's
name. But he
name.
Calls all his, whatever his name is, joint as well.
Yeah, he's crazy. Did you see the video, speaking of crazy Japanese developers?
Or just the crazy Japanese video.
Yeah, the video that I put on the Six Axis this evening, which was it's a trailer for Tekken on the 3DS.
I'm sorry, the what axis?
On the sixth axis.
I'm not sure what that is.
No.
No.
It's a very good website about video games.
Check it out. Have a look one day.
Very good's a stretch.
<You're> kidding.
My reviews do not necessarily reflect those of the sixthaxis.com.
Definitely not in that instance.
Yeah, it's alright.
The video is Yoshinori Ono, who's the
Is that an Enya song?
Yeah, he's the producer of Street Fighter for Capcom, but he's starring in this trailer for Tekken, which is made by Namco.
Hmm.
It's very funny. You should look at it.
They're going to become one thing at some point.
Yeah. You see, a couple of years ago, I would have said, yeah, probably Capcom would buy Namco out, but the way Capcom's gone this past couple of years, I don't know, they seem to be going downhill quite rapidly.
Namco might buy Capcom out and then make Power Rangers stuff. That's what I associate very strongly with Namco.
Really? Oh, because of Bandai. Yeah.
Namco, Bandai, Power Rangers and all that.
Okay.
I demand more Power Rangers games, but a good Power Rangers game.
I think we've got enough.
Yeah.
Not like a Power Rangers game aimed at the game's target audience. I mean, like a Power
How
Rangers
old
game
you, Chris?
aimed at 20-year-olds.
But that would defeat the point of Power Rangers.
I want a Power Rangers game that's more like Mortal Kombat.
Well, Power Rangers isn't like Mortal Kombat.
It's not a violent show. It's a children's TV show.
It should be.
Sorry, it's really distracting trying to watch this Yoshinori Ono video at the same time as podcasting.
Well, perhaps
it's good though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, moving swiftly onwards. Game, the company, not just games in general. Game Group PLC is in trouble, apparently.
Dum, dum, dum.
Or they might not be. Reports are conflicting as to whether or not they are in trouble.
I don't know. I think reports are fairly consistent that they're in trouble, apart from the things that Game are saying itself. But even Game has admitted that it's going to be tough.
Oh, yeah, no, but I mean, well, more the level of trouble they are in is reports are conflicting.
Oh, no, because Now Gamer published an article that said that they'd lost their credit assurance, which basically means they're about to go out of business.
Which is not true.
What they've lost is certain publishers' credit insurance, which basically means they can't get stuff on a sale or return basis, which is still really inconvenient for a retailer of that size.
I mean, it's going to harm them, but it's not they're about to go under.
Are you sure Now Gamer didn't publish 10 Reasons Why Game is Going Under?
No, they're saving that for next week. I think it's still a concern. I think Game is in a fair amount of trouble, but there was rumours today that they might try and sell off their international divisions and consolidate a little bit.
Yeah.
To try and make some money back. But yeah, it'll be, I don't know. I know a lot of people aren't really fans of Game, but I think, personally, I would miss them if they went. There's nowhere else for me to buy games because we don't have GameStation over here at all.
Well,
if
Game went down, GameStation would go with them.
Yeah. So it would basically leave me with HMV and supermarkets to buy games from.
And HMV would be online, game selling.
No, HMV said today that they weren't. They were going to scale back a little bit and then double down on it at the end of the year. Which coincidentally is when all the big games come in.
Yeah, I suppose though, if Game go under, HMV would probably boost their stuff to some extent.
Yeah, you'd think somebody would have to. There is a market there. It's just maybe not quite big enough anymore.
Well, I think perhaps it's not big enough to support it by itself. Whereas HMV's got the other aspects to support it, and although they're not in great financial shape, part of that is because they've been ploughing so much more money into making their stores like these technology hubs as well. Because I found out I can actually understand financial breakdowns because I read theirs. I was like, oh, this all makes sense. Okay. Which was an amazing moment.
Maybe you should be an accountant.
I thought only Greg could understand them. I thought that was just what Greg existed for.
Yeah, I have to wait for Greg's summary.
Just like, Greg says this, and I'm like, I guess that's probably accurate. That seems like a thing, and Greg says so.
The thing about retail
store
games is they're just stupidly priced compared to what you can get online. That's kind of what it comes down to for me, is why I won't buy most of my games online. I'd prefer to go into a store and take it back with me the same day that I buy it.
I'd say they are on release, they're normally not a huge difference, but the difference is that online games come down a lot quicker than they do in store. Like
I've ever bought a game on release.
Yeah, but I think if you buy on release, they're very comparably priced, because normally there's only like £2 or £3 in it. But when in like 6 weeks, 8 weeks, when prices start dropping for most games, at least, then they don't seem to drop in the physical stores because they can't afford to do it, whereas they can in the online world. And that's
I think that most of games' problem is that they've grown too big, and
I think so.
They're too there's too many of them.
Yes,
I mean, I don't know, Belfast's not that big, but there are like three game stores within about 500 yards of
each
other.
And they're going to do what I think they'll do what HMV's done, which is consolidate and remove stores that are pointless.
Yeah,
and I think that'll help them a lot, because HMV did that and it helped them significantly by removing stores that didn't need to exist.
Yep. Will obviously suck for the staff.
Yeah, I mean, no, everyone, there's always going to be someone who loses in this situation when you consolidate and that kind of thing, but it needs to be done for the business to continue to exist, and although it does suck for the staff, I'd rather have some game staff employed than no game staff employed.
Yeah.
Because those are basically the two options.
I don't know. I mean, I do quite like buying things online, but I do really like having somewhere to go in for, like, just have a browse.
The thing is that I like GameStation a lot more than Game. And I know you even got it over there, Peter, but GameStation staff seem a lot more knowledgeable in general, is my, from my experience of shopping in there. They seem to know about games, and like, whereas Game staff are more trained to sell to grannies and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the other thing. If we lose Game from the high street, there'll be nobody that's
doing
that assisted selling.
Exactly.
Which the market will, I mean, publishers will lose out because of that.
Yeah, and that's just not good. At the minute, I'm not sure they're going to go away. Because there were people who said 3 years ago that HMV was on the verge of collapse, and they're still here, and after refocusing their business a bit, they're doing quite a lot better. So, yeah.
Yeah. Just wait and see, I think. But I think things are moving fairly swiftly.
Yeah, I know.
You know, even by the time this podcast goes live, this discussion might be slightly out of date.
However, I think the reports from people that Game were sort of only had the top 20 in stock like that seem to be blown out of proportion a bit. Because my experience of going into Game is they frequently don't have a lot more than that in a way, compared to GameStation.
Yeah, usually they have like the top 20 out on the shelves, and then sometimes there'll be a shelf sort of in the corner somewhere that has everything else.
Yeah, kind of just like special offers and stuff, and that's about it.
And then 90% of the store is pre-owned.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, yeah, that's why I didn't lend too much credence to those reports that came in from people just checking out game stores. Going,
it's all anecdotal at the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
The only thing is, the thing that's definitely not anecdotal is that the game share price is tumbling.
Oh, yeah.
And has been since the start of the year.
Yeah.
Well, it has been since this time last year, really.
Yeah.
It's like more than halved, I think.
But it's not as bad as the other companies in trouble at the minute. THQ,
yes.
Who are in danger of being delisted from the New York Stock Exchange.
Yes.
That's quite
bad. Which would be quite serious.
Yeah. That would be them dead at that point, basically.
Yeah, this is... And they've laid off staff. Was this today or yesterday?
Today, it was 240, staff. I think.
Yeah.
Something around that. Which, to be fair, though, I have no context for that, because I don't know what their total staff is. So that could...
Oh, no, well, I think their total staff would be significant enough to be able to sort of absorb
I mean, I have no context of whether that's 1% of their staff or 10% of their staff, you know, because...
But I think more alarmingly is when this news all started to break about THQ, almost immediately I saw like journalists and industry commentators all start to talk about who could buy up the IP that they have.
Yeah.
Which is kind of telling that, well, for one, nobody really would care that much if THQ did go away.
Yep.
Because they're all their licenses would be picked up by somebody else.
Exactly.
And also, people think that it is conceivable enough that they're just like, oh yeah, THQ are going to go under. Well, oh well, let's see what we can do with their, let's see who matches up for their licenses, yeah, or their property.
Which is, this is a similar feeling with my feelings with game, is that the press has been a bit too quick to jump on both of these stories. I feel no matter how much reality there is behind them, because it's always hard to tell. Like,
see, I think there are a lot of people talking off the record.
Yeah,
about it.
I mean,
as
that's
well.
Certainly true, right. But I think it's just hard to tell sort of how bad things are internally, even these companies, because we simply don't know.
Yeah.
And people seem to just be basing this on anecdotal evidence of, well, this didn't sell very well and this didn't sell very well, but you don't know what their financials are like internally necessarily. Although THQ have had to revise stuff down quite a lot. But they're looking at a stronger year, because although they revised their profit forecasts down because of the huge significant failure of Udraw, they've had all this stuff with, so I don't think they've announced their profits with the WWE game and Saints Row the Third, in true. Which they've said both have done record numbers for them.
Yeah.
Which, if that's true, they might not be as stuffed as people think they are.
Another thing that I heard when all this blew up was that THQ bought Volition.
Yes.
That make Saints Row the Third.
Yeah.
And what, did they make Red Faction as well?
Yeah, yes. They definitely made the last Red Faction.
THQ bought them in like 2004 or something for like $12.8 million.
Yeah.
Worth of shares.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a cash purchase. It was, they gave them stock in the company,
yep,
to take them over. And today those shares are worth $640,000.
Yeah, which is why...
which is really shit for the people that owned Volition.
Oh, it's terrible, but that's why if someone pays you in shares, sell the shares as soon,
yeah,
as, because there'll be a contract on them that says, oh, you have to keep them for a year or 2 years or something, but as soon as that's up, sell them.
Yep.
Sell them immediately.
Get the fuck out of Dodge.
Yeah. Although the problem is then that it's off, the problem with share deals is it's often hard to shift the shares, because if you shift them all in one go, it can be perceived as insider trading.
Yeah, I think so.
So it becomes a tricky thing, which is why cash deals are obviously much better.
Yeah, but then everybody complains about people selling out.
So that's my advice. If you're going to sell to a multinational, take the cash. Chris's financial advice for the day.
Bear that in mind.
Yeah, but I think I wouldn't like to see THQ evaporate particularly.
I think that they have a lot of good studios and a lot of good people working there. I think that their management has maybe made a few mistakes over the past, yeah, few years. And they have they dropped a lot last year, but they have had a lot of sort of quite poor licensed, almost shovelware rubbish. I think last year they started trying to move away from that and, yeah, just didn't quite get it right. And that's part of the problem. You know, they tried to move with things like Homefront.
Yeah.
For example, they tried to move into, I think they were quite explicit about it. Even they said, look, we want to be proper serious publishers and we want to compete with EA and Activision.
Yeah, but the problem was then they spent way too much on publicising Homefront.
Yeah, and they spent millions on Homefront and it wasn't very good.
It flopped. Which the message to that is, if you're going to do that with a game, at least make sure it's a good one before you pump a lot of cash into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's definitely not going to have helped them financially at all.
It would be interesting to see now what happens with the... I think the CEO took a 50% pay cut. It would be interesting to see what happens with like Danny Bilson and stuff. See whether he sticks around.
But it's always interesting, that kind of stuff, because you like sort of thinking, well, I wonder what situation their financials would be in if you took their losses from Homefront out of the equation and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Just sort of see, because I bet they know internally, oh, if we hadn't made this mistake, then we'd be on solid ground.
Yeah, I would say they can probably put their finger on exactly when it all went belly up.
It's that and Udraw. And if they didn't have those two issues, they would be probably pretty solid, I would think.
Yeah, and to clarify, that's UDraw for the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360, because the Wii version that came out a year ago was wildly successful.
Yeah, it is. The point was, as we've discussed before, they didn't publicise the PS3 or 360 versions, so that kind of failed. On our final financial note, Sony are also fucked.
This is a baffling one as well.
They're not, were they looking at posting a $220 million loss? No, 220 million yen loss for the year, I think. But I have no idea how much that is in actual money.
220 million yen?
Yeah.
Is not that much, 6 quid. Actually.
Yeah, that's always what I think. It's like, it could be like a tenner, couldn't it? I don't know.
I think it's like 1,000 yen is a tenner.
Let's see. Google will know, because Google is good at converting things.
Google knows everything.
The words like 6 quid are the first thing I've said in about 10 minutes. Hello.
Hello.
Sorry for my
Is
my vocal absence.
Yeah, was it 220 million yen? Was that what they were writing off?
I think that sounds very low.
Let's have a look. The story will know.
$2 billion.
$2 billion was their loss.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot then. That's more than 220 million yen.
Yeah, it was 159 billion yen.
Yeah. So they're kind of not strong.
But that's company-wide. That's based on
the
TV sales.
Yeah, I was going to say that's not just necessarily Sony. It's part of the problem is they're pricing themselves out of the TV market. In a market where prices have tumbled considerably and Sony have continued to price themselves as a premium brand, which isn't working in that particular market.
And even their gaming division, I mean, they blamed the price cut from the PS3, which is odd because that existed the previous year when they made decent money.
Yeah.
But in their gaming division, the PlayStation 2 has fallen off this past year, which sounds weird because we kind of think that it should have fallen off about 5 years ago, but it has been a strong seller up until this past year. And the PSP is also falling off. You know, they're just about to launch new hardware.
But the problem with the PS2 is they've run out of territories to launch it in.
Yeah.
I think it's everywhere now. They've launched it in South and Latin America, which is...
Yeah, I think Brazil was the last one, wasn't it?
Yeah. And those are sort of places they kind of traditionally finish with.
So, yeah, I think it's quite natural for... Well, for the gaming division, it's quite natural for this last year and this next year to be sort of a little bit shaky.
Yeah.
And then hopefully the year after that, which will be, 2013, will be... Yeah,
that's what I would imagine.
Pick up a little bit. But then, like you say, this is company-wide and they have to sort out their TV strategy because that has been shocking for as long as I can remember.
I mean, that's where they posted the big losses was in... Because it's all one division, TV and PS3 and stuff, I think, isn't it? It's all one. Is that all one thing?
I think they've folded it into one division just recently.
But that's sort of... Because you look at it and it's the TV and the TV and the PS3 and something else. It's all like,
it's like
home
consumer products or something.
That's where they've made big losses, is that division, unfortunately, led by the TVs.
And then cameras as well. I mean, they're losing ground in the camera market.
Yeah, they are.
Significantly.
And I think they need to move away from pricing themselves as a premium brand because it's not working for them.
Yeah, or go the way a lot of companies do go with a two-pronged approach.
Oh, yeah,
brand and...
Sorry, stop relying solely on it. Like, keep Bravia, because people still trust that as a brand.
Yep.
But the,
and Vio.
Yeah, but then bring in a mid-range, or... I wouldn't think Sony would ever bring in a low-range one, because you've got too much weird Chinese competition to compete with. But bring in a mid-range one to compete with LG and Samsung, and see what you can do.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think we've just solved Sony's problems.
There you are, Sony. And then bring in like a mid-range gaming machine as well. That'd solve them all.
All right, Kaz.
Sorted. Just give him a bell. Just be like, there.
Just bell him up.
Yeah.
Hey, isn't that news as well?
What? Oh, that Kaz
Kaz being promoted.
Yeah, although that was sort of news a little while ago because he was unofficially promoted.
That's my kind of news.
He's now CEO of Sony, and then Howard Stringer is chairman, I believe.
Well, congratulations, Kaz.
Sir Howard Stringer.
Sir Howard Stringer, sorry. I don't understand what the difference between those two things is, so we can't really give much analysis.
No, I wasn't necessarily asking for analysis. Just feel like I should say something this podcast.
Yeah, you probably. Probably. I mean, it's your fault because you haven't done anything. So
No, I know. Shall I go?
No, it's fine. Stay. You can be angry about this next thing. Next on the list is of the news. We have quite a lot of news this week, I feel. Which is fortunate because there's nothing in the what we did bit. The before Watchmen is happening, they're bringing out 6 Watchmen prequel series.
Is
it 6 or is it 7?
I thought I read 7 earlier today, but perhaps I'm mistaken.
Is it they're running the pirate story as a like an add-on in each book, aren't they? So it might be 7 stories.
Yeah, sorry, it's 7 limited series. Yes, you are correct, Kev. But I also think Peter's right. I think that's why.
Everyone's right.
I think that's why it's 7.
Right.
Because I think it's the 2, but I'm not 100%. Here, yeah, when we count, they're doing before Rorschach. So before Watchmen, Rorschach, Minutemen, Dr. Manhattan, Comedian, Silk Spectre, Night Owl, and Ozymandias. No, that is 7.
Ozymandias,
I think. I can't remember how you pronounce his name.
Yeah, Ozymandias.
Yeah. Yeah, so that shall be interesting.
Is anybody particularly passionate about this?
Alan Moore has commented on the ethics of the prequel.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
He described it as completely shameless.
There's the issue with Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons. Yeah, that's it, the two creators.
Yeah.
The issue with this, because I was reading about this earlier today, the issue with this is that DC promised them that the rights would revert to them after a year after the book was out of print, and DC have just kept the book in print.
Well, that seems like a strange contract to sign.
Yes. Well, it was sort of, they said a year after Watchmen was done, and then DC have managed to, in the courts, get that to after it goes out of print, I believe, was how it sort of worked.
Speaking with the New York Times about Before Watchmen, Alan Moore said, he's entitled to royalties on printings of Watchmen and other.
Yes, he is, but he just doesn't own the rights.
He said, I don't want money, I want this to not happen.
Yeah.
He's quite strongly viewed about it.
Yeah, Alan Moore's mental, though, isn't he?
He's crazy.
Dave Gibbons is much more chilled out about it.
But even Dave Gibbons, I read his statement yesterday or earlier today, and I think his statement was very guarded. It was like, I understand why DC want to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said, basically, we've already said everything we want to say with Watchmen, but I can see that DC want to do this and have some artists and writers involved sort of pay tribute. So yeah, he was, like you say, quite guarded about it. He was like, yeah, we kind of already did what we want, but apparently they're not done with that yet.
So. The main reason DC want to do this is, at present, I think DC books shift somewhere, the average one, because now they've dipped off a bit after the new 52 stuff launched. I think they shift around 80 to 100,000. They're still in slightly stronger shape than Marvel. The average Marvel book ships about 50,000, I think. I'm not 100% on this. And then the problem is when they do Before Watchmen, those books will, for the entire 12-issue run on stuff, because I think it's 7 things, and I think they're each running for like 12 issues or something like that. But they'll all shift something like 200,000 copies per issue without DC even really trying that hard. So...
Yeah, and also film rights.
I mean, you're getting 7 films out of this, essentially, if they want to. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's significant for them.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I agree with Dave Gibbons. I understand why they want to do it, but I don't really care. I don't really want it. Now, they might do it, and it might turn out to be fantastic.
The thing I did point out, because I was discussing this on my weekly trip to the comic shop yesterday, and I was discussing this with the lovely man Steve, who works there. He's very nice. And he was obviously overjoyed because he was like, yeah, well, it sells shed loads. So he was quite happy. My response was, I will come in every week and I will grumble about it as I pick up my copy of it.
Yep.
And that's what DC knows is going to happen. So,
yep.
Yeah. And that's also going to happen with Avengers versus X-Men. I'll come in every week. Thank you, Kev. I'll come in every week and I will moan about the Avengers versus X-Men event while picking up the Avengers versus X-Men books. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm a sucker.
Yeah. A bit, yeah. I wasn't going to say anything.
I'm just a bit like...
No, I was.
You're like, a sucker. I hate these things. Here is money for them.
Here, have £50 a week.
No, I spent I spent £30 this week.
Oh, that's very reasonable. Do you know how much I spent this week on comics?
Well, like £5?
I didn't.
Oh, okay. I spent £50 is a rarity. And to be fair, I only spent £30 because one of the books was like a $7.99 book. So, which I don't know what that equates to in actual money, but that's $7.99.
Oh, I see.
You don't even know what it costs in hours.
Might as well be spending Microsoft points.
I know that a $2.99 book is £2.10 and a $3.99 book is £2.80. And I think a $7.99 book is something like £5 ish. But yeah, it's just because $7.99 books are quite rare to buy.
This week is Action Comics and Detective Comics.
I refuse to buy Action Comics this week for the first time since the relaunch because it's gone all stupid.
Has it?
Yeah. It's got the whole time travel storyline in it now. It made me angry.
I've just bought it.
Yeah.
Time travel's cool.
Yeah, but not in the context. They were telling this really interesting story about the origins of Superman. And like, it's really cool, really bringing in new aspects of Superman's character. And then they went, also, now there's Kryptonite and all this other stuff. And I was like, oh, why? Mm. So Superman is now being saved by Superman of the Future and the League of Supermen, I believe.
Weird. Splendid.
Basically, they've written like the most cliched Superman story you could write. So.
Doesn't have Mr. Mixus Piddalek. In it though.
Yeah, that would make it awesome. I'd buy that.
Because he's cool.
Yeah, if it was that, I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm all over that.
I remember reading some of the Silver Age comics that my granddad used to have with him in it, and like Superman turned really old. It was really cool. And then he went fat.
Yeah, he's awesome. I love him. For people who don't know, he's like a little pixie from the seventh dimension who can like warp reality and stuff. He's wicked.
Super powerful.
He's very, very
just
funny.
Just a bit childish.
Yeah. Has the power to basically destroy the world if he felt like it, but just acts like a kid. It's awesome. Final bit of news that Peter wanted to talk about. Star Wars TV show.
Oh, yeah. They're talking about making a Star Wars TV show. Apparently, they've got 50 hours worth of scripts.
Sweet.
And it's going to be set between 3 and 4. Rick McCallum is producing.
Yep.
Who he has produced the Star Wars
and they've also said it will have little to no relation to the stuff that happens in the films.
Yeah, no, they've said, I think the latest rumours were that it's set between 3 and 4, which is the end of the shit trilogy that they made, and the start of the real trilogy.
And it's going to be... Right.
3 was the best of the new ones. Mm.
One, pod racing, that was good.
I do quite like one. I'd say one was home to the best lightsaber duel in the whole series.
Yes, I agree
That's
with that.
That's true. And I know pod racing was silly,
and has
but
cool music.
It does.
The best new original music since the original Star Wars theme.
Yes, I would also agree with that.
That one.
Yep.
Let's get that.
Am I alone in my enjoyment of pod racing as well?
Yeah,
the pod racing was all right.
I thought the pod racing was.
Come on, Annie!
Cool.
You're gonna win!
Yeah, not Jar Jar Binks so much. That was not good. Right.
Oh, I want to stab myself in the eyes.
But the pod racing was fun.
Yeah, well, yeah. So, but the rumors that came out today were that the plot
So this TV show might involve time travel.
Yes. And
which is quite distressing.
And erasing like Darth Vader from history.
Yeah, the idea is that they are to travel back in time and stop Darth Vader from existing.
But what isn't clear, as someone pointed out, is whether this is just the plot for one episode or for like the whole series.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping it's just like a one episode. Hey, we have time for a plot. We killed Darth Vader. Oh no, the future is worse.
One. Yeah, no, I'm kind of I'm kind of hoping that they've got 50 hours worth of scripts. Apparently, I'm kind of hoping that that's to be cut down.
Yeah.
And they'll shed. Excuse me. They'll shed a lot of the silly ideas that they have.
I don't.
But they are talking about it being darker in time, which is quite interesting.
So, if you think though, 50 hours in the context of a TV show isn't actually that much.
Yeah, you say darker in tone, and then they'll come out and call it like a family show.
Yeah,
yeah.
But, I mean, in the
revolve around a family living like under Jedi rule.
I would watch that.
It'll be like the Christmas special. It'll be the Wookiee family, yeah. Chewbacca and his wife and kids.
Yeah, I'll watch that.
Yes.
But I think it would be...
It would be like How I Met Your Mother in the Star Wars universe.
Oh, I would watch the shit out of that.
That's not a phrase.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, dear. Who would be Barney?
I don't know. I'll be honest, I've never seen How I Met Your Mother.
Apparently, on April 5th last year, I predicted the downfall of Game.
Yes.
I didn't know that. I don't remember writing that. Jesus. All right, then.
Burn him.
Oh, Alex picking up things I wrote many moons ago. Jesus.
Yeah, I was more surprised that Alex remembered that.
Yeah. Maybe he just went and sort of searched for quotes on Game and just found that. Either that or Alex just... It's nicer to think Alex just has an encyclopedic knowledge of just everything, of all TSA articles.
Maybe he just keeps your clipping.
Every time, just actual clippings, printing out the articles, yes, and just cutting
yeah,
it out.
I don't think scissors. A search for game on a game website is going to give you that much in the way of results.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Lewis, you all right?
I'm all right.
All good.
Right. You got anything to say about Star Wars, Lewis?
It's dead to me now, pretty much.
See, I'm coming around to that way of thinking.
I actually feel a bit sorry for George Lucas.
Why?
And I know that's probably a minority view, but he clearly loves it. And every time he touches it, the whole world tells him that he's a cock. And yeah. I just think that's quite a harsh thing. If that was me, then I'd like to try and make it what I viewed as better, probably. Maybe leave it as a.
But if the whole world was telling you you're a cock, you're obviously doing something.
But I think
wrong.
Yeah, that's the bit I wouldn't be very good at taking. I think that the entire internet saying you're an.
I understand that, and I think that he has actually. I think they've made comments about that before. I think he said that he's not doing any more Star Wars himself because why would he bother when every time he tries to do it,
yeah, I think
he just gets that amount of abuse.
Mentioned it a couple of weeks ago.
But I think the problem is that he's missed the opportunities. There was real chances, you know, when they made the special editions and everybody called him a cock for messing that up and like adding CGI Jabba the Hutt to episode four. When he did all those special edition changes and made Han didn't shoot first and all that sort of stuff, all the stuff that people have moaned and complained about for 10 years now. When they put the films on Blu-ray, he could have included the original versions.
Yeah, he could have.
And he just didn't bother.
That's true. That would have been quite nice to have the original theatrical version.
Yeah, if he just had done two versions, just split it and do two versions.
Putting a rim on a Blu-ray.
Or yeah, even if the original version is only there and it's only in DVD quality, it's not all cleaned up, and just to give people the option. But he didn't. So.
What a cock!
What a cock!
Sorry, George.
Yeah,
just leave it alone.
We tried to like you, George, but you make it too difficult.
Yes.
We have lost Chris from this call.
Oh. Well, what happens now?
I don't know. It says there is a problem and they're trying to get him back.
Don't bother. That's what I say.
It's convenient that he left after that link of Batman.
He's just going to go to the bathroom.
He'll come back all breathless. And...
Jesus. It's not an image I need. So, what's next on the list then? Oh, what we did. Chris. Yeah. We didn't do that so much. Hey, Lewis, you haven't said anything for a while. Do you want to talk about The Reader?
Are we doing it now, or?
Oh, if you need Chris's say-so to do everything. Jeez. Just thought maybe I could take the reins for a bit, but apparently I was wrong.
You may as well do it now, Lewis. Chris never listens anyway.
Your orders.
Well, if you, you know, if you feel like it, you know, whatever. In fact, can you not? I'd rather you didn't. Pete, you watch this work. Lewis, don't even bother. We don't want to hear about it, okay?
Okay.
All right.
I'll have a cigarette instead.
Ah.
Oh.
Sorry, my internet turned itself off and then back on again.
It's all right. We were probably having a better time without you.
Oh, that's fun.
Osh.
I'm sorry, Chris. I don't mean that.
He's not sorry. He did mean it.
And he'll say it again. Oh, dear. So we finished talking about Star Wars, really, Chris. Basically, we came to the conclusion that George Lucas is a cock.
Mm. He is.
No matter how nice Kev likes to be and how much he likes to try and make everybody just be, you know, nice to each other and get along. It doesn't matter. We've turned him around to our way of thinking.
I did utter the phrase, George Lucas is a cock. So I guess that's set in stone now.
You can't change it. Can't take it back, ever.
I can't.
I don't think that's all.
I think as a person, he's probably quite nice.
I would expect so.
I'm sure he loves his family.
And his millions of dollars.
Millions of money.
Millions of money. Yeah, that's technical speak for you there. So, Chris, how's Soul Calibur 5 anyway?
That is a game, and you fight people in it.
All right.
Awesome. Does it have any really stupid tacked-on characters in this version?
Like Star Wars characters? There's a good link to be had there.
You have Ezio this time, but he's pretty awesome in it.
Oh, at least Ezio kind of fits in with the whole knife fight thing.
Yeah.
Well, as well, given that this is set in the 16th century as well.
What?
So I think that might... No, 17th century,
what?
Sorry.
1600s. Earth? Was it ever set on Earth?
It's always been set on Earth, just with like a bit of magic and shit.
Mm. Magic and shit.
Yeah.
That was the eighth character you could play as, wasn't it? Just throw shit at the other...
No. You get Ezio, and he does say things like Ratio in Parche, and you stab a guy and then shoot him.
He says things like what? Sorry,
what is it? He says Ratio in Parche. Yeah, that one. Yeah. He says that and
rest in peace, mother flipper.
And then you stab a guy with your wrist blade and then you shoot him in the head with a crossbow.
Nice.
He's pretty awesome in it, to be honest. And his because everyone they've done this thing now, kind of like Street Fighter did and stuff, where you have like Street Fighter had EX moves and Mortal Kombat had X-ray moves,
yeah.
And now this has it's something like Breaking Edge and something else Edge,
Straight Edge.
It's like Brave Edge and something else Edge, I think.
Straight Edge.
I can't quite remember. It's not Straight Edge. Mm. Cervantes
just throws his bottle down and goes, never again.
No, and basically, most of them, like, I haven't quite figured out, because normally what you do is you do quarter circle, and jab all the buttons to do it. But Ezio is a special one that's just like a charge one, and you hold it as well as his other ones. You hold them all down, he glows orange. And then he just shoots the guy in his head with his wrist-mounted pistol thing.
So Ezio has all his weapons?
Yeah, basically. Ezio is a badass in this. It's really awesome.
He has quite literally taken a gun to a knife fight.
Yeah. All these other guys are just like, oh, I got a sword. He's like, that's lovely, crossbow.
Okay.
Do any of the others have distance moves?
No, not really. It's there's the guy who's... Because what's quite interesting in this... is I think for the first time, there's not just like a new generation of fighters, like not in a bad, because some of them are the fighters from before as well, but where they've taken over, but they're people who've like fallen into the slots and there's a reason they're in that slot. So if people remember, like the older Soul Calibur games had Killick and he was the guy who had a big stick for poking you.
And a super quiff. Did he have a super
quiff? Yeah, and super quiff. Yeah. And now there's another guy whose name I can't remember, but he has the big stick and he has like a link to Killick. Which I think is quite interesting, personally.
A super quiff.
Yeah, he had fucking massive quiff.
Yeah, hairstyle.
It was like gigantic. Yeah, the hairstyle.
Okay.
But, it sounded very incredulous.
Yeah. I just wonder what a super quiff would achieve.
Oh, just it's just his hairstyle. It doesn't have to achieve anything.
Very
it's
aerodynamics. Helps him to run faster.
Oh, it's not like it's not a super powered quiff.
No.
No, it's just a really big quiff.
Oh.
Are you super in the more base meaning of the word? I mean, above. Yeah. Or
a bit less interesting, to be honest.
Yeah. It doesn't have like a powered quiff. It shoots lasers from his hair.
Just unfurls cool. like a whip.
Yeah. A bit like Sindel from Mortal Kombat. If you ever...
Yeah.
God, you're a fighting game compendium this evening, Kev.
Well, I mean, you know, God. You flatter me. I'm all flustered. Actually, I was going to ask you, Chris, with Soul Calibur 5, I know in the previous incarnations of the games, they haven't necessarily treated the feminine characters with the greatest degree of feminism. In that they're basically not wearing any clothes and have more physics than the men in a certain region on their bodies. Yeah.
It's not as bad as it used to be.
Did you see the adverts for this game anyway, Kev?
No.
There's basically a close-up of a woman's cleavage.
Nice.
Blowing very
gently
revealing.
In the wind.
Yeah, it was very revealing, like skin-tight leather.
Right. So it doesn't sound like they've grown up that much.
No, it kind of looks like it was going to be a cat suit, but the zip was almost all the way down. And then
saucy.
Lady lumps all up front. And...
But to the best of my recollection, there's only two characters in this who are that kind of traditional Soul Calibur woman.
Yeah, but to be fair, the other female characters aren't the super plunging neckline or wear miniskirts instead. They're fully covered and armoured with a shield, but they're also wearing a miniskirt in the sort of guise of a Roman tunic.
There is the one, I forget her name, I think it's Pyra or Pyra, and she's kind of the I learnt this word, she's the geologist, like you have the antagonist and the next one down is like the geologist or something.
Mm-hmm.
Who's like the second most important character. There is a point where she's trying to be all badass. You're kind of like, this would be more impressive and scary if you weren't wearing what looks very reminiscent of like a schoolgirl outfit.
Yeah.
It would work better. But in general, yeah, although they do have short skirts and stuff, it's not nearly as bad as it used to be, is my feeling on this.
The deuteragonist is the second most important
thank you.
Character, but that's protagonist in terms of the order would be protagonist, deuteragonist, tritagonist.
Yeah, that's it. Yes, that would be it.
Yes.
Yeah. So I
Greek in origin. If you're interested.
I mean, you still got Ivy, and she still is all barely clothed, but she has been for like every iteration. And then I think there's.
I think they should put her in a trouser suit, just to really piss off the fans of the series.
Some pastel colours, something from M&S.
She's had a reduction operation.
What's always odd about Ivy as well is she appears to be like a librarian.
Oh yeah, no, just in her spare time.
Yeah, those ninja sword wielding librarians.
Whose swords also whips. And then there's
what? Yeah, her sword is segmented, and she can sort of
turn into a whip thing,
bladed whip.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. Then I think there's the other one's Tyra, something like that, and she is wearing very little. But that one's more explained in a this chick is just fucking crazy kind of way.
Hey, did that crazy cartoon style fighting game that Dan reviewed come out yet? Skull something.
Skull Girls.
Yeah,
I think that's out this year.
Not out yet, but it is coming soon.
That looks really good.
Quite good.
Yeah, overall, Soul Calibur 5, very good, very enjoyable entry in the series. Ezio feels a lot less tacked on than the other characters do. And he kind of fits in. As I said in my review, it looked very, very pretty. But the one thing that I dislike is that the arenas feel like super generic.
Mm.
Like in a, this could be Soul Calibur 2 kind of way.
Yeah. Maybe they got the same assets as like Sports Champions on for Move.
But it's a shame as well because like Soul Calibur 4 like had really interesting stuff. Like I thought the the Star Destroyer arena in Soul Calibur 4 was awesome, where you had like the moving walls and stuff. And they'd started to sort of create these more interesting kind of places. The only bit that is kind of cool, I suppose, is on certain levels, not all of them, but it's kind of does the Mortal Kombat thing, because you know, like a Mortal Kombat between rounds, you can like go through the floor,
yeah,
and like go down to the next layer below. If you ring out people on certain arenas, then you do that, you like go down to a floor below, which is quite cool.
Like in
like the next round,
Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe does that quite well.
Yeah,
the ones where
yeah,
they just like smash each other through the walls and just keep running and fighting.
Yeah, I think I've actually got that now, because I was going, I sent all my Love Film back, Love Film stuff back finally after a year, and I was going to cancel it, and I forgot to cancel it, and they sent me more discs. But I think I have Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe now.
The best part about that game is the fact that it has licensed characters from a non-Mortal Kombat universe. That's the best thing I can say about the game.
Yeah.
I did not enjoy it.
I just want to play it to see how much they've underpowered Superman.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. You're like, oh, no, it's okay, because they're from an inherently magic universe, so they can punch him in the face, no probs.
That obviously explains it. What about Wonder Woman, then, because she's inherently magic?
Yeah, but if you punch Sonya enough, you need to get to see her boobs.
Ah.
I think that was the
insightful
they were going for.
Insightful. Mm.
Seriously, try. I mean, you get to see some serious underboob.
It was crazy as well that the American version was like, no, you can't have they can't have fatalities and stuff, but they're in the European version.
But did they cut the fatalities and stuff out?
They cut the ones from DC or something.
It's only a 15, the UK version of the game. They didn't cut them out. They just censored them a little bit more, I think.
No, in the US, I think the DC ones are just cut out in the US entirely.
Really?
Yeah, although to be fair, the DC ones are kind of brutal. Like, the Joker just shoots a guy in the head.
Yeah, and Green Lantern, no, he's not in it. Is he in it? He is in it. Yeah. He gets the guy, like your opponent, in a bubble and then just shrinks the bubble until they just explode.
Yeah. Oh.
Which is awesome.
I mean, that's kind of cool, and that kind of fits
not really
in
what
the whole... But it kind of fits in with like the whole Mortal Kombat ethos of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, of like ridiculous deaths, whereas the Joker just shooting a guy in the head is quite...
Oh, so he's just dead.
It just kind of seems a bit... Yeah, that just kind of seems... Because like Mortal Kombat's always quite cartoony violence. Mm. Like, just shooting a guy in the head is not
and
cartoony
think
violence
if there was a
all.
Character that would really epitomise cartoony violence, it wouldn't... It'll
be the Joker.
But no, just
because
guys.
I think what he does is... I think what he does his fatality is he does pulls the gun and it goes just bang.
Oh, right.
Bang thing comes at the end. He laughs right then, pulls out another gun and just shoots him in the head.
Nice.
Which, to be fair, is exactly what the Joker would do, but it's still a bit harsh.
Yeah,
seems kind of brutal, even by Mortal Kombat standards. Yeah, but Soul Calibur 5, very good. Lewis. Mm. Would you like to tell us about The Reader?
I do.
We should let Lewis speak for like an hour now.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
I watched The Reader, which is I think it's about a year old now or so. No, looked longer than that. She won an Oscar for it a couple of years ago, did she? I thought it was a bit of a chick flick, like going into it. But I was really surprised by it. It's an absolutely brilliant film. It's sort of set between modern day and the 1940s. And Kate Winslet plays a German lady who works as a tram conductor. And she meets this 16-year-old boy and has, I say, a affair, but neither of them were involved, so a fling. And she sees him as, like, obviously the opportunity to use a 16-year-old as a personal little sex toy.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Every 16-year-old boy's
exactly.
dream, to be fair.
But the other thing that she loves being read to, so she met him, this boy's quite intelligent, quite a good reader, like into literature, so he reads loads of books and loads of stories. And then... she, I'm not ruining it by saying it because it's pretty evident from the beginning, she can't actually read or write, which is why she likes being read to. And she gets a promotion at work to the office of the tram place. And because she's illiterate and she's extremely ashamed of it, she actually packs her bags and joins the SS. And then...
Oh, yeah.
Bit extreme.
Yeah. And then he goes off to uni to become a lawyer. And then she's actually... They're reunited, although not through choice. That's just like a surprise happening. She gets put on trial in the 50s for her part in the murder of 300 Jews. But again, because she's so ashamed of being illiterate, she actually confesses to the murder of those Jews rather than aiding and abetting. So she goes to jail for life. And it's basically that relationship from there. There's no like big set pieces or anything like that. But it's the way it's done, it's absolutely brilliant. The Kate Winslet in it acts superbly. I'm not normally a fan of her or don't see the fuss, but she's absolutely brilliant in this. And Ralph Fiennes plays the older version of the boy. And it's the first film in a long time that has literally left me with a moral struggle, because in my head, I really want to like Kate Winslet. She's a really nice, caring woman character. And she's just ashamed of the fact that she can't read or write. So that forces her into that position. But then you also think, but she did have a hand in the murder of 300 Jews. At what point do you, you know, at what point do you turn around and say, actually, no, she's not a very nice person?
I think the murder point.
Yeah, I think probably when she starts murdering Jews.
That's the problem. If you watch the film, because you don't actually see any of that take place. It's all, it's all alluded to. You don't actually see anything. It's all just done through the courtroom that you hear about what actually took place. Like I say, she had no more of a say in it than all of the other guards, and they all got sent down for aiding and abetting and only got like 4 years. So, but she still had a hand in it. So again, you're like, she's a really nice woman, and the way the characters play out, you really get to sort of like the pair of them. And then he's obviously struggling with the fact that he, you know, throughout his entire life, even as an older man, he's unhappy, introvert, and, you know, this was his one true love sort of thing. But he's now struggling with the fact that she's a murderer, basically. So it's a difficult one to explain, because it really does come through in all the emotions and that in the film. The way it plays out is really superb. Yeah, and I really struggled with it, because I was just like, no, I want to like her, but she's a murderer. She's a Nazi murderer. So, yes.
It does make it tricky, you know.
Is, like I say, you need to watch it to understand, because obviously when you say it, there's no choice, you know. She should be a bad person.
Yeah, when you just go like, well, she's a Nazi murderer, you're like, well, that's
pretty clear cut.
I really want to like this woman that murdered 300 Jews. Maybe not.
No, you need to watch it to fully understand where I'm coming from there, because it really does leave you with that sort of dilemma.
Moral quarry.
Yeah. And the fact that it's based on people reading her stories, it gives a really calm sort of feeling. It's not a mental film, it's not hectic or OTT.
I suppose that sort of aspect would make you kind of identify her as kind of childlike as well, in a way.
Yeah, almost, yeah.
Yeah.
Soften the appearance.
But and again, she hasn't got apart from the fact that she, you know, doesn't come to the aid of these people, she doesn't ever come across as having a malicious bone in her body. She genuinely does come across as a really nice and caring woman. That's the struggle. You just don't know what to think about it. So I would highly recommend that film. It's a really good watch.
Apart from all the killing, she comes across lovely.
But it's not even killing. The thing she goes down for is there was like these Jews were being held hostage in a church, not even hostage, prisoners in a church. And from all the bombing and the fighting that goes on, a fire breaks out and the church catches on fire, but they don't open the doors to the church. So they basically burn alive in the church.
Oh, so she didn't kill them, she just didn't rescue
them. Like she shot them. And then...
Oh, okay, that's less
and
evil.
And when she... It's just the fact that they didn't open the doors out of choice because they didn't want mayhem to ensue. They didn't want the Jews to escape and seem to be weak. And then there was also an incident where she was in the camps and every now and then she would pick 10 people to go to the gas chambers. But again, they explain it in a way that she picks the oldest and the frailest. So in a way, you think she's being kind to the healthy if there's a chance of them living. But there's still the thought, you know, she's still implicit in their deaths. And just because she can't read or write doesn't make her actions acceptable. There were plenty of other options. You could have just turned around and said, actually, oh, thank you for the promotion, but I'll stay on the tram.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a really, really good watch. Really thought-provoking and really well done.
Okay. That does sound quite interesting. We'll give that a watch at some point, hopefully.
Breaking news.
And lots of Kate Winslet naked. Sorry.
Ooh.
Always a bonus. Some breaking news. Apparently Game have been given a lifeline by their lenders.
Oh, okay, so they're not fucked.
So, they're safe for now.
That's good then. That's what we like to hear. Well, I mean, lenders are intelligent because they know there's clearly a market there and a business model, and Game have probably convinced them that they're restructuring correctly. So
this is what the guys from MTV are saying, that basically now publishers have to work with retail.
Yeah.
Because if Game go down, the publishers are fucked.
Exactly.
So there we go.
It does seem to be this dichotomy in this industry. I don't know if it exists in other industries, really, that publishers and retailers see each other almost as enemies. And they're just like, no, you need to work together if you want to survive, otherwise you're both going under.
Yeah, well, it's the whole pre-owned thing, isn't it? But
yeah, but the pre-owned thing is it's never going to be dealt with, so just leave it be.
Move on.
Yeah, well, as people point out, if you didn't have the pre-owned market, people would buy less new games, so there'd be probably the same amount of money in the market anyway. So, wouldn't make much
difference. Yeah, it's hard to tell, but...
Oh, yeah, it's not something you can necessarily tell, but I suspect that the gains to the industry would not be significant.
No.
If they removed the pre-owned market, because people would have less money to buy games with. So, just the way it works. Yep. Peter.
That's me.
You've been playing FIFA on the iPad.
I have. Blasphemy. Not very much.
Blasphemy.
Just a little bit. I got it cheap a couple of weeks ago. I think it was in a sale EA had or something. I got it for like 69p or something. It was really, really cheap.
Okay.
And then never looked at it. Then just a couple of days ago, I thought I really should take a look at that, because otherwise I've just bought it and left it to sit.
Do you mean literally never looked at it? Just kind of disgusted with this?
No, literally just pressed the button to buy it and then just let it download on the iPad.
It's quite easy to do that.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, I've been doing that. Shocking. There was like someone put out...
And also FIFA is a very, very big download.
Yeah, it is.
It's like 1.4 gigabytes on the iPad.
Yeah.
So, I was pleasantly surprised. It's on-screen controls, so it's a little bit annoying that way. I would say it, graphically and the way it plays, it's kind of comparable to the PSP or the DS versions, which aren't very good. But to be running on the iPad, it's quite impressive. And I also got an app for the iPhone, which was a free app that EA provide, which lets you use your iPhone as a controller.
Oh, that's very cool.
So I can use the iPhone as a controller and control the iPad. Awesome.
Although, to be fair, because I don't know if the iPad version is the same, but Davs has been playing the iPhone version, and the touch controls and that seem quite cool.
Yeah, they're contact sensitive.
Yeah, but it's also...
So there's like three buttons, and then they change between pass and shoot and
sprint. But it's also the fact that he was saying like you can like swipe a dude to like set up runs and things like that.
Oh, can you? I haven't seen that.
I think so. I think that's what he was saying was you can like...
Well, that's what they're doing on the Vita version.
Yeah, because that's very cool that you just swipe forwards and be like, yeah, make this run so I can put a free ball forwards to you.
Yeah, that's the plan for the Vita version. I've seen videos about that.
That's really cool. I like that as a concept.
And you can touch on the Vita, you can touch the back of the thing where the touchpad is on the back. You touch that, that sort of represents the goal. And when you shoot, you touch an area on that, and that's where you shoot the ball into.
Oh, that's good. Because that's something I find quite tricky, is getting the target right.
Yeah, it sounds, the Vita version of FIFA sounds really, really good.
That's cool.
I'm very keen on that. So yeah, I just played a little bit of it on the iPad and was quite impressed.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Awesome.
I don't know if I would go back to it when I have it on the PlayStation, and also we'll be getting it for Vita. I don't know if I would go back to the iPad very much.
I had to get that for PS3, really.
Yeah, you do. You can get it reasonably cheap now.
Not really. It's gone back up again.
Oh, has it?
Yeah, it's back up at like £36 at the minute.
Oh, well. Leave it a few weeks and go to games closing down sale.
Yeah, true. Be safe then. Going back to films again, briefly. Lewis, would you like to tell us about Abel?
Quickly. It's a Mexican film. And it's about a boy, 7 or 8, who has spent 2 years in a children's hospital in the psychiatric ward after his dad left. And when he comes back out of hospital, he's, in his mind, he's assumed the role of their dad. So he joins the family, and it's quite bizarre and quite funny, because there's this little kid putting on all his dad's clothes and like his jewellery, and telling his brothers and sisters, you know, to sit down at the dinner and eat their dinner and not speak to their mother like that. And so it's quite bizarre. And like I say, the most of it, it's done in quite a humorous way, but obviously there's an underlying condition there where he's a bit mental. And then their dad returns and it all starts going a bit pear-shaped. And it ends quite, you know, just in the middle of things and without a real conclusion, but it leads up to a scene that's quite tense, where he takes his little brother to teach him how to swim, and then something transpires, which I won't give away in case you're going to watch it. I don't know if you will. Where like I say, it turns out to be quite a tense little scene towards the end, which changes the mood completely. But other than that, it's quite dark humour, you know, because it obviously is a child that with a mental illness, but it's just funny watching this 7-year-old kid walk around thinking he's the dad of the family. And then there is a very creepy scene where he's in bed with his mum, because he just took to, you know, sleeping with his mum, not in that sense. But there is a creepy scene where he does just turn around one night and kisses her on the cheek, and then like climbs on top of her, and she's just like, "What are you doing? You're crushing me like that." And then he kisses her on the cheek, and then that's it. It's a bit uncomfortable, but there's nothing, you know, graphic or overtly sexual about it. It's just all implied, and it is quite uncomfortable. And then the next morning at the breakfast table, he just turns around and goes, "Kids." Me and your mum wrote a letter to the stork yesterday. You're gonna have another baby. And so yeah, it's quite good. It's quite dark but quite funny.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that does sound kind of cool.
It does sound quite cool, but it is not on Netflix.
And Peter just doesn't watch things on Netflix. It's not on Netflix. Peter's out.
It may be on Love Film.
I don't have a Love Film subscription.
Oh, right, okay. Because I think I watched it from a Love Film disc.
Yeah.
It is on Love Film.
There you go.
Oh.
Fucking wankers.
So yeah.
I don't know if it's available to stream on Love Film.
Oh, right.
No, it's not available to stream.
Yeah.
But it's worth a watch. It's quite a unique little film, unique idea. And the whole mental illness thing's never really explained. It's treated quite sensitively, but it's never gone into that side of things, which I thought worked in its favour because it didn't try and explain too much.
Yeah. Well, that's good. But it definitely sounds pretty awesome.
It does sound quite cool.
Yeah, I want to watch that. And Peter, I'm going to skip over your homeland thing because we didn't talk. Oh, well, we did talk about comics a little bit about what before Watchmen, but
it's okay. Skip homeland. I'll talk about homeland next
that's
week.
That's right. I just could talk briefly, very very brief about the Massive because the book I was excited about last week or possibly the week before. And although it's not here, because it kind of what they've done is it's in a Dark Horse do this thing where they have like a load of short stories bundled together. And they've done that as like the prequel to it. So it's only about 4 or 5 pages. But it's really cool, very interesting. It's set in the North Sea in 1995 on an oil rig. And these environmentalists have taken over the oil rig and are threatening to set off a bomb of some sort. And so they send in a private military corporation to take them out and get the oil rig back. And kind of what happens is they take over, not a single issue, and they talk about and then they talk about freak waves and this because this freak wave rogue wave, sorry, which apparently thinks are really, I don't know if they're really real or if they're just real in this context, like real in that world sort of thing. But they because he talks about how they'd been talked about anecdotally, but science had never found them until that day, and how this oil rig survives, and then he reveals that the oil rig that survived was a different oil rig, and the oil rig he was on didn't get hit by just one of these rogue waves, which are meant to be like a 1 in 10,000 chance of hitting. It was hit by 7 of them in a row, this was kind of, and like that this the and it, his was so devastating that it wasn't recorded by anyone because it just killed everyone bar him on the oil rig, and it's very weird that this is kind of apparently where it's based on, about this whole science fiction concept of these giant rogue waves and natural disaster. And it's sort of hinted that maybe the environmental group have worked out how to cause these rogue waves, but it sounds really interesting, and I'm looking forward to when it hits. I think in March, I think the first real issue comes out. But it's Brian Wood, who's the guy who did DMZ,
and it's kind of like environmental terrorists.
Yeah, kind of. That's what it seems like. It might well be
weird.
Which would be very cool.
Very popular in middle America.
Yeah, definitely. I think it might not do too well, but his stuff doesn't really do too well with traditional comic fans, say, like people who like just capes, as they would say. Yeah, I don't think his stuff goes over too well. But we were talking in the comic shop about how interesting it would be if they just let him run like a Marvel or DC event, and how it'd be brilliant, but also hugely depressing, and just at the end everyone would be dead.
Which is okay, you can get away with that, but in certain contexts, like series like what was that thing called that you made me read that was brilliant?
Kingdom Come, maybe?
No, it was the like super violent guys in the Cockney and the,
oh, the boys,
like Simon,
yeah.
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 Oh, things like that can be incredibly popular, but they kind of, that anything like that has kind of had a superhero tint to it.
Yeah.
To be popular in a mainstream way.
Yeah. His stuff is good, but dark. I will say very, very, very dark and depressing.
I really need to read more of the DMZ thing.
DMZ is awesome, but yeah, that is... I think I'm up to about the 4th collection of that, and that gets... Yeah, that gets kind of super dark, and just like really dark, depressing, all about lots of stuff about propaganda. There's a point where he goes completely paranoid, insane, but it's fantastic. You should read it. Okay, next up on the list, I feel kind of just down a bit now because... Brian Wood, you're a very depressing man. Quiz, Mr. Lewis.
Okay. It's a good job you spoke about financial stuff because it gave me a chance to write a quiz.
Are you going to ask us, like, what was Sony's financial performance in the 07-08 financial year?
How much did Sony lose on the PlayStation 3? This week's quiz is all about numbers, and that out. Don't despair yet, Peter.
Are you just giving us, like, maths questions you set for kids at school?
You'll work it out easy enough, and then when you do, they'll help you answer the questions. Kev, are you here?
Hello, yes.
Okay.
It's not going to be, like, which of these is a prime number or something, is it?
No. It's about films.
Okay.
But it's all about numbers.
I was getting excited for a minute then.
Sorry.
Still about films.
All right.
I was looking forward to a nice maths quiz.
You write one next week, then.
All right. I'm not going to write a maths quiz. I'm not mathsy enough to write a maths quiz.
Is one of the answers Ocean's 12?
No, because there's 10 questions.
Oh, okay. I think Lewis just revealed the nature of the...
Like I say, you'll work that out pretty easily. Okay, question one. Which vampire film urges you to choose wisely? Question two. This film is part two and features two structures.
Yes.
This film is part two and features two structures. Question three. George Clooney, Mark Wahlberg, and Ice Cube were the three what? Question four. Exploding Crows feature in which British film? Question five. Cars, Nonsense, and It's Still Not Over.
That's not a question.
Oh, name that film. So pedantic.
Who am I?
I'm thinking of a colour.
Green?
No. Questions.
Can you repeat five?
Cars, Nonsense, and It's Still Not Over. Question six. Boy sees ghost. Ghost helps boy. Boy helps ghost. Breath is cold. Name that film, Kev. There's a question mark for you.
Well, still an instruction,
shut up.
That's fine.
Question seven. Will Smith falls in love while altering the lives of seven people? Question eight. Mutated, ugly, and one hell of a problem for pest control. And that's just David Arquette. But
hey!
Question nine. This film stars Daniel Day-Lewis, Nicole Kidman, Judi Dench, Marion Cotillard, Fergie, Penelope Cruz, and Sophia Loren. And question 10. The Taming of the Shrew adapted and set in a modern-day high school starring Heath Ledger and Julia Stiles. Did that all make sense?
Yeah.
How do you think you've done?
Okay.
I have three that I'm pretty confident of, but I've answered six, but the other three are just random guesses.
Okay.
Okay. In that case, I've done really well.
Oh, okay.
Kev?
I've answered all 10. I'm probably confident of five.
Okay. Question one, then. Which vampire film urges you to choose wisely?
I don't know. I put Underworld 1?
No.
I randomly guessed at Blade 2.
Really? No. It's Let the Right One
it
In.
It is Let the Right
Let Me In.
It's oh, Let the Right it. One no, In.
I haven't seen that film.
I don't think Chris understood the concept of the quiz at this stage.
Blade 2 has a number in it.
Yeah, no, like I said, I don't think you've understood the concept of the quiz at this stage. You'll get it, don't worry.
Question... Okay, so question one was...
Oh my God, Kate just brought me a pancake.
Oh, I see now, yes.
Awesome.
Question two.
I have figured it out.
This film is part two and features two structures.
Is it called Two Structures?
No.
would it in fact be The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers?
It is The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
That's what I got.
How did I not get that?
Question three. George Clooney, Mark Wahlberg, and Ice Cube were the three what?
Musketeers.
No.
Kings.
It is Kings.
That would be a terrible version of that film.
It would be amazing and you know it.
That would be awful.
Chris, I'll take it you didn't get that one.
No, I didn't.
Okay, four. Exploding Crows feature in which British film?
Forsaken?
Lions.
It's Four Lions.
I think I was going too much on the wordplay.
Question five. Cars nonsense and it's still not over.
Oh, I don't know.
Is it Fast and the Furious 5?
It is the Fast 5. Wow, Peter's romping ahead.
I did not get those.
Question six. Boy sees ghost. Ghost helps boy. Boy helps ghost. Breath is cold.
Sixth Sense.
It is the Sixth Sense.
Although when you first read that question, I thought you said boy sees ghost and you were talking about Only Fools and
Horses. Nice.
Question seven. Will Smith falls in love while altering the lives of seven people.
Seven pounds.
Yes.
It is 7 pounds. Ooh. I'm just making a tally chart. Not that I need to because Peter's won. Question eight. Mutated, ugly, and one hell of a problem for pest control, and that's just David Arquette.
Eight-legged freaks.
It is.
I didn't get this one.
It is eight-legged freaks. Question nine. Daniel Day-Lewis, Nicole Kidman, Judi Dench, Marion Cotillard, Fergie, Penelope Cruz, Sophia Loren star in which film?
Is it Nine Lives?
Nope.
Oh, shit.
I didn't get this either.
Yeah, I didn't get this.
That was simply nine.
Yeah, that's what I said. I was talking to Kate when I said lives.
Right.
Yeah.
Question 10. The Taming of the Shrew adapted and set in a modern day high school star.
10 Things I Hate About You.
And Julia.
Yeah, 10
Stiles.
Things I Hate About You.
Yeah.
It is 10 Things I Hate About Ooh. Okay, so that means Chris.
You see, I got that one because I'm a sucker for a Shakespeare adaptation. You could adapt. You can make a Shakespeare adaptation into the biggest piece of shit and I'll watch it. But I think that Kev probably got it because it's a romantic comedy.
Man, I love that film. Heath Ledger's so dreamy in it.
I really like 10 Things I Hate About You. It's a good film.
You like Step Up, you don't count.
So Chris got 5, Kev got 4, Peter got 8.
Wowee. Wowzers, trousers. That's deserving of a round of applause.
Well done.
Oh, I'm quite proud of that.
I like the fact that no one gave him a round of applause.
did you listen to the podcast last week? The edited version?
No.
I gave you such a round of applause at the end. Fireworks, cheering. There was a little party balloon going on. It was nice.
Oh, I might go back and listen to it.
Yeah. I'm thinking I might just give it to Chris and we have to use it as a standard celebration for the for the winner. It's not quite the same when it's not live, though, is it?
No.
Oh, well.
It all feels a little bit flat.
Yeah.
Hopefully the listeners enjoyed it. Tell us if you did.
Yeah.
Good quiz. I like the theme.
Thanks.
It's clever.
Yes.
It is very clever.
That was good. Well done.
Thanks.
You're clearly...
Should we move on, Chris?
Finally, some appreciation.
No, I just feel like kind of stagnating at this point, really.
You smell like you're stagnating at this point.
I suppose there were questions of some sort. Let me see. Don't really know.
Question time.
Is someone a goldfish now?
Yeah.
Tough Cub says, does TSA have plans to follow the market and post massive financial losses and lay off the staff?
No.
Mostly because we're not a public company, therefore we don't have to post our losses.
I'd say mostly because there is no financial income.
Losses? I was going to say.
Yeah.
Is anything financially in TSA anything other than a loss?
Not really.
Well, obviously, it's a massive gain in terms of, you know, joy.
Yeah, well, it kind of pays for itself now.
Shh, Peter,
we're not making a loss.
We're not obligated to tell anyone our financial information.
Oh, yeah, we're not a public company.
Thanks. Yeah. Peter's lawyer.
Either invest
Freedom
or stop
of Information Act.
No, it doesn't work on private companies.
It does.
No, it doesn't. I wish you could go to Coke. Hey, Coke, how'd you make Coke? And they'd be like,
yeah.
Oh. Damn.
I should ask them that. I should, and then I could make it.
I'm not sure that's how the Freedom of Information Act works.
Works on everyone.
Yeah, what's the point of a Freedom of Information Act if it doesn't work? Yeah, Freedom of Information Act. Nah, I'm not telling you. But the freedom thing that I was just talking about. Nah.
I've quoted the Freedom of Information Act. Why are you crying and handing me all your documents?
Yeah.
And the other quote, we only have two questions on the
I got thing. Some just sent direct to me when I asked.
Well, that's all right then. Top Gear Sam says...
hello, Top Gear Sam. Don't hear from you very often.
Who I always kind of read as somehow Top Gear Orgasm.
Okay.
Are you going to buy most of your VT games via the PS Store or via retail?
Well... Well,
I'm not getting
the price
a Vita,
disparity,
so
really.
I'll be knowing no Vita games.
Yeah.
Hmm. Kev?
I was just going to say, it depends on the price disparity, really. If they're a lot more on one than on the other, then I'll probably use the alternative. Yeah. But then, you know, because full title PlayStation games on the PSN store are nuts. They're like £50. So if they're looking at that pricing model, then I'll probably go to the retail stores.
I don't have...
Yeah, I think... Sorry, Lewis,
no,
go ahead.
No, it's fine. It's fine, honestly.
Well, we'll just sit here in silence then.
I think the Sony stuff might be priced reasonably. And I think, like, a couple of other publishers have started to notice that they have to price a little bit more reasonably. But I think if you're buying it on day one... It might be cheaper from the download store, but if you're going like a couple of weeks later, then it might be reduced a bit in retail. So it might end up a little bit cheaper in retail.
Mm. I agree.
And also you have to factor in the cost of the memory, which is quite expensive.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm getting any. I should probably buy some, if not.
Yeah, you should.
Kind of pointless having one without. It.
Yeah, you definitely need it.
So is that it?
So probably it'll be a mix, but I think I'll probably get a lot of stuff from the store.
Can I point out, Peter, you sounded so disappointed when I said I wasn't going to buy any Vita games, even though you know I'm not getting a Vita.
No, I'm disappointed that you're not getting a Vita.
Oh, I don't, they cost lots of money.
No, I just like having you on my friends list.
Oh, well, you have
can I be on
your
friends list, please?
Yeah, I think actually you both are on my friends list for the PS3.
Well, oh, we're talking about PS3. Sorry, I thought we were just talking about lists that we make.
Yeah, I'll just make a list.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, I'm already on your Vita friends list because it's PSN, isn't it? So
yeah, it is.
So I'm there. You just can't do anything with me.
You won't be leaving me special gifts to play with in Modern Nation Races.
Oh, I'm sorry. But I'll get one of those games that's crossplay, and you can pretend they've got a Vita.
Okay. Wipeout. We'll play Wipeout.
Yeah, all right. Is that crossplay?
Yeah.
All right, that's going to be really good as well, so I'll get that then.
Awesome.
Is it? Do I have to get Wipeout 2048? Is it, or is it Wipeout HD somehow?
It's Wipeout HD.
Oh, okay.
And they're going to patch it so that it has some of the tracks from 2048.
Okay, that's awesome. All right.
Hooray.
There we are. Me and Peter are going to test. We can write an article about testing crossplay and shit. Yeah.
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 Awesome.
Right, sorted.
This enjoyable experience, and Chris has just managed to turn it into work.
Yeah. Hurrah. Cheers, Chris.
That's how I do.
And it's on like, the podcast now, so you have to do it.
Yeah, there are words that can be written about this.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Was that the last of the questions on that?
That's the last of the ones I have. Okay. But you had
I
some.
I have one from James Love. He says, if you were to send one console to hell, what would it be and why?
That's hard.
I don't believe in hell.
I'd send a PlayStation 3, so I've got something to play when I get there.
Forward thinking.
Yeah.
I would say...
Which is what got me in hell in the first place, because apparently it's predetermined. Premeditated.
I would send the fucking Game Gear.
I think it's already there.
Although I love the Game Gear, I spent so much fucking money on batteries for that thing.
Yeah. It would have to be something like that, something from around that time. Maybe the Atari Jaguar.
Oh, no, because that doesn't really exist.
It does exist.
No, it doesn't.
They had those massive controllers.
It's just a myth.
Games came with like inlay cards because there was like 21 buttons on it.
You find me someone who owned an Atari Jaguar.
I knew somebody that had one at the time.
Did you ever see it, or are they just like...
I played it in his house. He had an Aliens game for it.
I'm not convinced they were a thing.
It was awful. I'm so expensive.
I'm still convinced that Atari Jaguars are just urban myths.
It's a whisper on the wind.
Yeah.
Well, I'd put PCs in hell as a console, because PC gaming's dead, yeah? No one's playing games on PCs anymore.
Oh, you're going to get ripped to shreds.
I mean, what? What is there to play on PC? Oh, Left 4 Dead's well good. Shut up. Don't make me sick.
There's always
what is the point in a games console that you have to pay to upgrade the hardware in order for it to look good? Not even that.
Yeah, I mean, what is it? There's World of Left 4 Dead for Zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Done.
And Conquer.
And yeah, Conquer, and of course. Yeah.
Just combine all the PC games.
Well, I don't think we've got time for that today, but you work on that and we'll hear the results next week.
I don't just mean the names of the games. I mean, I'm going to combine all of the games.
Oh, right, all games. Just the ultimate mashup, if you will.
Yeah. And it'll
you've got a minor
industry.
Planet for resources in order to create your character. And then once you've created a character with the resources that you built, then you've got to take him skateboarding on a half pipe. And that's only the start. That's the beginning cutscene. So it's a work in progress.
Yeah, Chris, I'm not entirely, you know, the voice of reason here, but I think that would fail.
I think that'd be awesome.
Such a thing as overreaching.
Yeah. It presents a certain technical difficulty.
Mm.
But that's all right, because PC people can upgrade.
Hey.
No, what you're gonna do? You're gonna skateboard, and then you'll snowboard, and then you will wakeboard, and then you'll surfboard, and that's pretty much all the boarding games covered.
But it's a customizable skateboard that you can actually grow from dead aliens.
And while you're doing that, you're shooting zombies and also Russians. So that's Left 4 Dead and pretty much all other first-person shooters covered in one go.
And then after that, you've got to rebuild the war zone that you've just destroyed.
Well, the police are after you.
By controlling little villages and telling villagers to build stuff. And
yes.
So that's Age of Empires done.
And Settlers and Civilization.
Populous?
Yeah.
And SimCity and Populous.
The Sims?
Exactly. And then once you've done that, you're attacked in real time, which pretty much covers all these realm strategies.
and also turn-based. Sort of real-time turn-based strategy combat system where you got health points that you lose and you can plan your attacks, but whilst you're planning, you actually get attacked anyway. So you're turn-based, but they're real-time.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I was thinking of combining them. It would be the worst game ever. It would be so unbalanced.
And then following a nuclear war, it's set in post-apocalyptic world. So that's covered 99% of all games.
Hold on, at some point we need a simulation where you're like forklift simulator.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, in the post-apocalyptic scene, you have to actually just stack a warehouse full of supplies.
Full of nuclear warheads. That's what happens is your forklift
crashes.
That's
the pre-apocalyptic.
That blows up the warehouse and then all hell breaks loose. And then you revert back to...
Hell literally breaks loose.
And then you revert back to a...
Sort of Diablo style.
Yeah.
And then you play God because you've got to rebuild the world.
But you only see
we might need to storyboard
with
this
a giant tiger.
Really
I think
up.
It needs a little focus.
And then at the end, you're Batman. I think that pretty much covers everything, really.
Done. What was the question?
Sci-fi Batman. We need to go into space.
Oh, yes. Well, no, because you start by mining a planet for resources.
Oh, right. So we've started in space.
Yeah.
Yeah, you basically follow the entire evolutionary trail up to Batman.
because as everyone knows, Batman is the peak of evolution.
Exactly.
And then once you're bored of that, you build a giant train track and just watch your planes and trains go round.
Yeah.
So, what was the question? Yeah.
Ironically, the question was about consoles.
All right.
And that is why PC gaming is dead.
I have some questions from Stephen. Stephen is a fucking lunatic.
No, but he already has questions.
I've got
the
like 17
well.
Questions from him in the forum as well. So.
All right, then we'll skip his questions.
Mind you, if we skip the forum ones, then that only leaves us with one question in the forum because there's only one response to this week.
No, we'll skip his Twitter questions and do his forum ones.
Yeah. Right. CD87 says he would love to hear us discuss our thoughts on the new Nintendo Network information.
I don't know, what is this, what are they doing?
Anybody know? Nintendo basically said, yeah, all that shit where we said that people don't want to play with each other online, well, we're going to have a network and people can play online.
Nice. Actually, it probably was quite a good idea.
Yeah. We take it back. Now it's a good idea. No, at the time, no, but now it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently Iwata has said that it will cover the whole next generation of products, including the 3DS and the Wii U. So players can play against each other and it'll have full downloads of games and DLC and all that sort of stuff.
Mm. So basically there aren't friend codes anymore.
Oh no, I think there's probably still friend codes.
Oh.
But even in the 3DS, friend codes were system wide rather than game specific. So I think they are coming round to the way networks should work. They're slowly approaching 2006.
Yeah, but still, the fact that it's a friend code is fucking stupid. Rather
I've got a
name.
Friend code. It's like a secret handshake.
I do. There were guys who got on the bus with me yesterday, like behind me, and actually did one of those, like a proper like 20-second handshake.
I reckon me and my twin brother have got a pretty long secret handshake.
You should have just turned around and said, get a life.
Makes us look so cool.
That
and smoking.
Peter? I don't suppose did we really answer that Wii networking stuff?
Yeah.
Well, we kind of just described what it was. We didn't say what we thought.
What was the question? Is that good?
I think, yeah, they want to know what we CD87 wants to know what we think of the Nintendo Network.
The options are pro or anti, and I think you'd be weird if you were anti.
Yeah, I think it's probably a good idea. It's probably about 5 years out of step with the rest of the industry.
And if they're still having friend codes, that is bonkers.
Yeah, I don't think they haven't said.
Please,
what way that's
just let me have a name.
Yet.
I want a name.
Maybe like a unique sort of user name that people could identify me by on the network.
Something like that was
pretty avant-garde.
Well,
yeah.
Oh, and also maybe let me play DVDs on it.
No.
It is crazy that the Wii is the only thing that has come out of an electronics factory in the past 10 years. It isn't a DVD player.
I've got a TV that has a built-in DVD on the side. I've got a toaster which also toasts DVDs.
So you can get car stereos that have DVD players in them now.
Yeah. Just so you can listen to the audio of a film when you're driving.
Yeah. And yet the Nintendo are like, no, this thing that connects to the TV, you know, the TV that you watch movies and stuff on, doesn't play movies.
Yeah, no, for that you'll need a DVD player. A DVD player! Plays so many DVDs. All regions.
Doesn't really care what DVDs they are.
Yeah.
Any genre will do.
And once he's done, he discards it. Moves on to the next.
What a DVD player.
Yeah.
I have a question from Christopus on Twitter.
Master of the Christopus Gambit.
Lest we forget.
Lover of rhyme.
It is.
He has so many accolades to his name.
Originator of the Christopus Gambit and lover of rhyme. Yeah, Christopus off of Twitter.
Yeah, it's
Christopus off of uni, sort of.
He's coming to football with me on Saturday.
He's weirdly sort of assimilated into the rich internet culture in which we find ourselves, because he was the northern mate of a guy that me and Dad lived with at uni.
He somehow...
And then he moved down here.
Yeah, he merged into
And then lived
into
at your house
group.
For a bit, did he?
Yeah, he merged into our uni group, yet went to Leicester Uni, didn't go to Sussex.
Yeah.
He didn't go to the same university.
No. Yeah, no. Yeah, he merged into our university group.
But he's a lovely gentleman.
No, he's absolutely lovely. It's just somehow he's merged into our university friends.
I always assumed that he went to the same university.
No, he went to Leicester. He only did. I think he only did 2 years.
Yeah, loser. Just kidding.
Make it sound like a prison sentence. He only did two in the end.
2 years in Leicester is like a prison sentence.
But yeah.
Anyway, so he asked me a question. Lovely
he
gentleman.
He asked you two questions.
Oh, did he haven't refreshed? He says, what one game would you choose to be remade?
Flashback.
Yes.
Yeah, we've done that one, haven't we? Yeah. All right, the next question he asked was, if you could only play one game for the rest of your life,
Flashback.
What would it be? All right, have we done that as well?
No.
Does Chris listen to the podcasts?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah, sometimes. Huh. I think he just likes to hear my voice.
Oh, that's it's comforting. Reminds him of home.
I only play one game for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, Skyrim, because at this rate, it's going to take the rest of my fucking life.
Actually, yeah, that's quite a good shout. Something as epic as Skyrim.
Yeah, even unending. Though I don't like... I think even though I Skyrim is not the kind of game I enjoy... Here.
I think if it was the rest of my life,
yeah,
I'd rather that than like Batman. Well, I've solved all crime in Gotham, so...
I still haven't gone to sleep yet, though.
Yeah. Or change my clothes, or...
Ooh, or maybe... Oh, could you be sneaky and have something like World of Warcraft?
But then everybody else would stop playing it.
Oh, that's true, I suppose. Yeah.
I think I would probably play Football Manager.
Wow.
Just get up to like the 2048 season.
Yeah.
Maybe Minecraft.
When Peter's going to die? Do you know something?
Yeah, you know Chris is a soothsayer. We discussed it earlier in the podcast.
Oh, yeah. 2048.
Shit, I'm going to die when I get to the 2048 season. I'm going to start playing that game on slow.
Yeah. You want to get too stressed out? Yeah, so Minecraft, maybe. I'd have an expansive sort of estate by the end of, well, the rest of my life. Imagine how
Minecraft
much you could build in Minecraft in an entire lifetime.
Yeah,
sort of like Inception, but made up of really blocky little squares.
Yeah. Block Inception.
Blockception.
Did you hear my theory earlier this week? Because
probably
there's
not.
Lego Minecraft.
Oh, yeah.
Lego Minecraft. The game.
The game. Yeah. Where you play as a Lego version of the Minecraft guy, placing Lego blocks in...
I don't even know.
It's too meta.
Oh, God, it hurts my head to think of.
It's like, hey, you know that film, The Lord of the Rings? Someone should write a book of that.
Yeah.
The novelization.
Oh, dear.
It'd probably be shit. Yeah, so that's it for Twitter questions from moi.
Forum questions.
Okay. Solid Steven, who is currently locked up in his cage, says, it's that time of the week again. The sometimes raging Chris, the slave master of TSA Peter, the sound effects guy Kev, and the film-loving, Spabbage-loving Skyrim addict Lewis.
Can I say, I think slave master is a bit harsh to Peter. If anything, I drive Peter forwards rather than him driving the rest of us.
Mm.
I kind of prod him till he does stuff.
Yeah, I surround myself with industrious people and then put my feet on.
Yeah. It's been working out for you quite well, I think. It's a good tactic.
Goes quite well.
Yeah, Chris, your only accolade was sometimes raging. So.
That's accurate. And I've realized I'm turning into my dad, so it's fine.
All right.
I also quite like the fact that he distilled Kev down into basically the big black guy from Police Academy.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, Chris, I turn into your dad sometimes.
Well,
that's just going to roll over.
Write a letter to the store.
Yikes.
Sorry.
Sorry, I can't get the image of my mind of sort of hairy backs rubbing together as you turn around.
Oh, you've got hairy back.
No, I'm just assuming that you both do, being adult men, and turning around in bed and suddenly rubbing hairy backs. I don't know.
I don't believe my dad's back's hairy.
No,
either,
it is.
So,
yeah, I plaited it once.
He's like a bear.
While he was sleeping.
It was like a
anyway.
Handle.
So, yeah, us lot demand that you send them pizzas as it's their 50th this week. We're getting old. And send them questions.
I wish somebody did send me pizza.
Yeah, I've just had pancakes. They were awesome.
I could do with some pizza.
If you are new to this, then all you need to do is ask a few questions in this thread. The questions in this thread are, yeah, I think we've sort of, he says this each time.
Didn't we discuss last week that we...
He hasn't copied and pasted this time. He says, the questions in this thread are only to be answered by the TSA cast guys. If someone else answers them, they'll send Dan Lee around to beat you up as they despise pre-owned questions and will stop at nothing to answer them first.
I got a lovely message from Dan Lee when I logged into Skype.
Yeah?
Yeah, he said, I'm going to sex you in the ovaries.
That is lovely. It's romantic. Yeah.
It is. I replied with, can't wait. I'll send a memo in and tell them you're coming.
Great.
He's a very fertile man, Dan.
Hello, Dan.
Hugely fertile. So, Solid Stevens' first question is,
will TSA be review 52? Ignore if a review is already up.
I didn't understand a word you just said.
Yeah, that accent was too thick.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is my French accent too much for you?
It is too much for me. Stop it.
Okay, well, I'll ask the question again, all right? Okay, he says, all right. He says, will TSA be review FF13-2?
Probably.
Yeah, probably after it comes out. We didn't get sent code, I don't think. We didn't get early code, so we haven't reviewed it yet, but probably after it comes out.
I'll have to figure out who in staff likes it. I don't.
Well, I did Final Fantasy 13, but it was like 50 hour before you could start reviewing it.
Yikes. The fact that there are rumours of a Final Fantasy 13-3 have just enraged me beyond comprehension.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're really taking sequels to the next level when you're doing 13-3, aren't you?
Yeah.
I don't think any other franchise in history can claim to have done a 13-3.
Yeah, I mean, okay, all right, Assassin's Creed has Assassin's Creed 2-3, but at least they didn't just fucking call it that. Yeah. At least they, like, made a bit of an effort.
See, that's the problem with Final Fantasy, is that it's a brand now. It's not... Final Fantasy 13 has absolutely...
Related stories, were they? They never...
No, they've nothing to do with the previous versions, basically, most of them.
Other than Chocobos. Lord knows I love a Chocobo.
I thought it was Chocobos that were doing voices for Mass Effect 3 when I first saw that headline.
Yeah, so did I. I only found out the other day that that the name Final Fantasy 13 was just a snarky joke. Not Final Fantasy, but just Final Fantasy as brand.
Because the company was going out.
Yeah, they thought it was just going to be the last one.
Oh, really? Is that true?
Square thought this was going to be the last game. Or I don't think it was Square at the time.
Sweet
but they thought
irony.
They thought this would be like the last game they'd ever make, and it sold really well.
The really funny thing is that it probably will be the last game that they ever make.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, they won't.
They're going to make that game every year or two until they all die.
No, because they're in Eidos now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they can make more shit Tomb Raider games as well.
Yeah.
Quite easily.
Tomb Raider.
The new Tomb Raider looks really good.
I played Tomb Raider Underworld as it was on. It was free on PlayStation Plus.
Yeah,
it's god awful.
Yeah, that's not a good game.
I wouldn't expect any game this generation to not have like a turning on the spot sort of animation. So when you move from left to right, like your character would just snap that way. So without the classic Nathan Drake at 180 turn sort of, you know what I mean? Yeah. I know that was really badly articulated, but. Yeah,
is that the one that really early on has tigers?
I don't know. I didn't play it and more than 5 minutes because I was like, this is awful.
Oh, okay.
I did exactly the same thing. I downloaded it because it was free and then played like the first 5 or 10 minutes and was like, yeah. I can get better games for free.
Exactly.
This game is not worthy of my time, even though it cost nothing.
Yeah.
This game
is not worth free.
Yes.
You'd have to pay me to play it. Anyway, Stephen's next question is, will you rage when you play Azura's effing wrath? All in caps, I should mention.
No, I don't intend to play that game. It sounds like an RPG and they scare me.
It's kind of like an anime, like Japanesey looking game. It's very much a Dan Lee kind of game.
Oh, well, probably Dan Lee will probably play it then.
Yes.
And he probably won't rage because he is a trained fighter and, of course, he has more focus and the least rage, really, of any of us.
A karma spirit.
The only game that's ever made Dan Lee rage was when we made him review Dynasty Warriors Gundam 3, and I think it nearly killed him. Because he couldn't comprehend that game. He tried, bless him. He tried his hardest.
And he probably did a bloody good job of it as well, compared to what anyone else would have done.
But he was just like, I don't understand what this is. Oh, God. Oh, there's so many Gundams.
So much mecha. Can't cope. Will Peter murder the TSA staff if he doesn't get to review Mass Effect 3?
Definitely not. My murdering days are behind me.
That's lovely to hear.
I reviewed Mass Effect 2 twice.
Nice.
I would quite like a little bit of time off of Mass Effect. I'd quite like to be able to play Mass Effect 3 without having to review it.
I think.
So I'm perfectly open to the idea of another staff member reviewing it. Although, obviously, I'll review it if it comes down to it. But
I'm just going to take a couple of days holiday from work when Mass Effect 3 comes out.
You say it like it'll take a real push to get you to review it.
But reviewing it's a bit more work, isn't it? You kind of have to think about how you feel.
Yeah, you have to kind of play it differently. Mm. And I think because I did that for 2, it would be quite nice to not have to do that.
You do essentially try and get through it.
I think following the pattern, you did it twice for 2. You've got to review 3 times, haven't you?
We'll see.
Do you think a decent Superman game is possible? I think we've talked about.
Yeah, we discussed the young Superman, didn't we? So that he wasn't invincible as he's learning his powers. Because it'd be ridiculous if it was adult, because he'd be invincible.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's just too powerful for technology, gaming technology, to deal with it. Because he could destroy any building that he wanted. He could fly forever. Like, he's too unconstrained.
Yeah.
I would quite like them to have another go at a Superman game, though. There'd have to be some sort of conceit that weakens him a bit. But I think I would quite like to see a Superman game made by the people that made Just Cause 2.
That'd be awesome.
I think if they made an open world Superman game where pretty much everything is destructible.
Yeah. Use the Red Faction destruction engine. It was a good engine. I mean, the games weren't great, but you could destroy bloody everything.
Yeah.
Oh, do you know what would also be a brilliant option? Make Just Cause 3.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yes.
Oh, God, I hope we're due an announcement for Just Cause 3, aren't we?
I haven't played any of the Just Cause games.
Oh, Just Cause 2 is amazing.
I played the demo.
Just Cause 2 is really good.
Just Cause is maybe solid as well, but I think it's last gen now. But Just Cause...
No, Just Cause was on the Xbox 360, but not on the PS3.
Oh, okay.
No, it was on the 360 and the PlayStation 2, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't on the 3, yeah.
And they ported it up from the PS2, I think, so it looks a bit weird. But Just Cause 2 is incredible and just like ridiculous. Like it's ridiculous in kind of the Saints Row sort of way.
Mm. Just so over the top.
Hey, I wanna jump out of this plane and hand glide to the ground. Okay.
Yep.
But before I hit the ground I want to use my zip wire to climb a palm tree, so
yeah, basically.
Yeah.
And also the fact that for some reason, due to a glitch in the physics engine, if you zip line to the ground, you take less damage than you would if you just fell to the ground.
Nice.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is science, though. Have you ever tried falling off a building and then zip lining to the ground? It's easier.
Yeah.
My favourite thing in Just Cause 2 was being able to tie people to gas canisters and then shoot the gas canister so it flies up in the air and takes them with it.
Yeah. No, my favourite thing was putting gas canisters on, because you could link like 3 together, but linking 3 that were really far apart, and just setting the one right on the left hand side off and watching it like take the other 2 on a little trip around. So, because you could shoot it so it didn't explode, couldn't you? You could shoot it so it just kind of released all the gas.
Scoops away.
Yeah, that was awesome. Oh, that game is mental.
So the answer is Just Cause 3.
Yes. I don't think that was really relevant. But yes, Just Cause 3.
If you all shared an office, would any work get done?
Yeah, probably. I think more work would get done, in fact.
Yeah, because that would imply that it's a full-time job that pays people.
That would be so much easier.
Yeah, then everyone would be in the same place and it would be like a buzzing newsroom.
Yeah, we could coordinate and stuff and there'd be like machines to play games on and that kind of thing.
You'd have
doing... and a lot more video and audio stuff.
Yeah, you'd have Tough Cub and Aaron in the corner competing to get the news out, and also comparing trousers, jeans, if Tough Cub's Twitter-based anecdotes or anything to be to go by anyway.
Tough Cub's got jeans with dragons and orchids.
He does, I read that, yeah.
He has jeans that are made from different types of jeans.
That's true as well. Yeah, like I said, he's got a fair few gene-based anecdotes, so I think, yeah. And then obviously you'd have the community's hit team in one corner of the office, probably helping each other to water a pot plant.
Talking to each other.
Yeah. The rest of us saying, can you keep the noise
prizes
down?
Stacked up on one side.
Yeah, it'd be really nice.
Yeah.
Tis but a pipe dream.
Yeah.
I'll be in the other corner, rocking backwards and forwards.
And I'll be in the other corner rocking backwards and forwards. I did the devil horn sign with my hand when I said rocking, but that doesn't come across too well on audio.
Dan would just bring Jay into the office every day. Just so
God,
Jay...
I hate kids in the office.
No, it'd be fine because and Jay used to
play the games and review them.
Yeah, Jay plays and reviews Dan's games for him. That's how it works. He's got a system.
Well, as long as he keeps him on a leash.
That's why Dan's...
Well, if there's going to be children in the office, then I'm going to have to revise my plans for more video content.
But, I mean, that's why Dan's got another kid. Just so he can view more stuff. Give him 5 years.
Okay, so then other forum question regular Symposium says, is Stephen glorifying the insane difficulty level of Azura's Wrath?
Dunno, I haven't played it yet.
Yeah, probably.
Stephen tends to glorify most things he says, I think. So I think it's a safe bet that anything that he types is hyperbole of some description.
Oh, Stephen's a lunatic. But he's an awesome
He's a lovely lunatic. Who's on our side, and we mean him no harm, okay? yeah, that's it for forum questions. There's only one that wasn't Stephen's, so get on it, listeners, yeah? We've got like this well good forum and that, so... Give it a go. Like you, it might change your life. You don't even know.
Or you could also email us podcasts@thesickfaxes.com.
For real.
Blood. Blood. I like to say bruv at work.
Yes, bruv. I got that that program you was asking me about. Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah. And there's also if you ask someone for something, they're like, oh, what do you want? Just go, sorry, hard. Didn't know you were so fucking hard.
Sorry, hard?
No, you dropped the H.
No. Say it again?
Sorry, hard. I didn't know you were so fucking hard.
I don't understand.
It means, I am sorry, person who is hard or prepared for a fight. I did not realise you were so prepared for a fight.
Yeah. Don't like it.
Just punch them in the face.
Yeah.
No, it grew up because it's something where the guy is actually like, he just says it jokingly, he says it to his mates. I said, one day you're going to be pissed in a club and you're going to say that to a bouncer and you get your teeth knocked out.
There seems to be a new culture at work where you just say to people, I bet you are, or I bet you will, or to like completely non-sexual things. Like, oh, I've just sent the client an email. I bet you did.
Okay. Just
it's really quite off-putting.
Your mum.
Oh, now I'm kind of glad I don't work in an office. Yeah.
Your mum jokes.
You don't
go,
have to be crazy to work here, but it helps.
Our office
if by
is
crazy
just
you mean wear Simpsons socks.
No, our office is just dominated by your mum jokes. And that's it.
Well, she does work there, doesn't she?
It's so Japan.
She does work there, though, doesn't she?
Yeah, there's your mum jokes and also jokes about
I don't
about
understand
me
what you're saying, so I'm going to ignore it.
Yeah, there's also jokes about me smashing stuff. Because I tend
smashing.
To get quite...
Should we wrap this up?
I tend to get quite aggravated. Yes. You've been listening to episode 50 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast. I have been, as per usual, your host, Chris. It's going to be joined this week by the rather lovely Peter Chapman, who has just launched Next Axis, a online iPad magazine digital content thing with videos in that. You can follow him at twitter.com/colossalblue. I've also been joined this week by editor-in-chief over at screendemon.com, Lewis Gaston.
Lies.
You can get at twitter.com/LewisGaston. Why lies?
He hasn't been here.
Lewis has been dead for 16 years.
Dun, dun, dun. It's just, we know what you're like, Chris. You're a compulsive liar.
And we've also been joined by the dude from the Police Academy movies, Kev Adsett.
You can't help yourself.
You can get at twitter.com/Kevatron400.
You got it right!
Yeah. It's just like going, no, it's not Cadis, it's Kevatron. It's Kevatron, it's Kevatron. 400 or 4,000?
400. Yeah, you got it.
4,000 is the upgrade.
Yeah. You should see the 4,000 model. Yeah, it is really something.
I mean, that's impressive considering they skipped like 3,600 versions as well.
Nah, that's, it's just one version. The version before me was Kevatron 40.
Oh.
They just add a zero. Yeah.
I'm not sure your inventors understand how versioning systems work.
I'm not sure you understand if I have inventors. I am a human man.
So is your face.
Well, if you're getting upgrades, then clearly you have some kind of inventor.
Yeah, it's called a plastic surgeon.
Oh, all
upgrading
right.
My cock. I'm sorry.
Sorry,
potty mouth.
I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened.
I thought you were going to say, I don't know what came over me.
Well.
Wouldn't give you the satisfaction.
You can also get me at twitter.com/HalbPro. I think that'll do it for another week. So say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Yeah, bye.
Good. Bye.
Great. Hey, can anyone do a vocal version of the ending theme tune?
If anyone can, Kev, it would be you.
No, it turns out I can't. I failed.
Okay. Did you see the guy doing the vocal version of The Simpsons?
Yeah, that was awesome. Tiddle-i-po, put it in your eye and smokey Joe. Okay, I'm gonna go. See you later, Mo. Bye.